This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B.
Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. Tonight's race is for the Pembroke Select Board. Incumbents Dan Trabuco, John Brown, and challengers Thomas Driscoll and Karen Rayner will let the voters know where they stand on the issues. I'm Charles Matheson, your moderator. Along with Monday night talk show host Kevin Tocci, asking questions. Also joining us to ask questions is Art Edgerton with Pembroke Town News. Our format is simple and consistent. We've asked candidates to have opening statements of 2 minutes each, prepared, and closing statements of 1 minute. We'll ask candidates rounds of questions. They have 1 minute to answer. The lightning round is next with answers either yes or no, or one or two sentences. We chose the opening and closing order earlier out of the official WATD newsroom koozie, non-replaceable. Oh, no, it is replaced. Whoever stole it, no questions asked, just return it. No recriminations. All right, let's get started. Number one is Karen Rayner with your opening statement, please.
I'd like to thank WATD for hosting tonight's forum, and thanks to my fellow candidates for their service to the town of Pembroke. As mentioned, my name is Karen Rayner, and I'm hoping to earn your vote for Select Board this June. Two main factors brought me to consider running for a seat. One is concern for the lack of planning for town growth and development. The other is related to a Select Board meeting last summer. Pembroke's town departments and services have commendably done more with less for years now, but we need to come with terms with what this does to a community in the long run. We have been in need of a proper town master plan after not having one for over a decade. We are also in need of major capital improvement and development plans. As most of us know, the community center, public safety services, and the DPW are in dire need of new infrastructure. We cannot continue to kick the infrastructure can down the road or take a band-aided approach to our town buildings and services. I bring 25 years of experience in the corporate nonprofit sectors in managing operations, infrastructure, technology services, and strategic planning, and I know how to drive operational strategies with proper fiscal responsibility. The other factor in my decision to run was the Select Board's vote on an anti-racism statement last August that was not unanimously approved. If elected, I will represent all of Pembroke's residents, and I will stand against racism and discrimination in any and all forms. I've been on the South Shore for 20 years. When my husband and I moved to Pembroke a few years back, we were instantly welcomed by the incredible community and have loved living here. Our kids are in the public schools, and my husband coaches various town sports teams. I've gotten involved in the Recycling Committee, the PTO, Pembroke for Racial Justice, where we work closely with the Pembroke Police Department, and other community groups. My family and I also love taking advantage of the open spaces and trails throughout the town and consider them an incredible luxury to have. I made the decision to run because I want to bring our community together through a shared vision for our future. I've spent time talking with friends and neighbors, local business owners, our chief of police and fire chief, and other members of town leadership. We all have a shared passion for Pembroke, and I believe our town is ready for positive change.
Thank you. That was Karen Rayner, candidate for Pembroke Select Board. Next, we'll hear from Tom Driscoll.
I just want to thank WATD for having us here today. My name is Thomas Driscoll. I've lived in Pembroke for 15 years. I've been married for 14. I have three children, Tommy, who would have been 13, Matthew, who was 12, and Maggie, who was 11. I have been on numerous committees in town, the Solid Waste Recycling Committee, which we actually got recycling into the town, which was huge. I've also served on the Recreation Committee, so I'm intimately aware with what's going on with the rec center and or the community center project. I've also served on the Board of Health for 10 years, six as chairman. It's been an interesting couple of years in Pembroke. And the reason I'm running is I feel we need better leadership. And right now, after a lot of as she mentioned before, some of the vote they took this summer was one of the was also one of the reasons what spurred me to run. I believe that we can make Pembroke better by changing leadership. Again, thank you for your, for having me. And Dan.
Okay, thank you. That was Tom Driscoll. Next, we will hear from John Brown.
Thank you. Hi, my name is John Brown, candidate for re-election to the Pembroke Select Board. The reason I want to continue being your board, Select Board member is for the fact that the job that we started in town is not complete. Through the efforts of the town manager and the board, we have aggressively pursued grant money on the Pembroke for Pembroke on the state and federal levels. I was successful in hosting a firefighter grant workshop in town where over 50 fire departments throughout the Commonwealth were able to participate. I was named to the town manager search committee with my colleague Dan Tribuco that was responsible for the recommendation for the new town manager. I was a liaison for the grant writer we had in town for several projects such as the Memorial Park, Complete Streets, Town Landing, which unfortunately these projects have been delayed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I am the liaison for the Council on Aging. With the help of one of my other colleagues, we are continuing to give the seniors a voice in our community. Mainly, I've had the opportunity of being liaison for the Pembroke for Pembroke to the Select Board's office, where up until the pandemic, I would go to people's houses and or conduct office hours in Town Hall weekly and be able to talk to the people on how the town could help them. I want to thank WATD for giving me the opportunity to answer questions this evening, and to the people of Pembroke for encouraging me to running for re-election to the Select Board June 26th. Thank you.
Thank you. That was John Brown. Now we'll hear from Dan Tribuco.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dan Tribuco, and I'm running for re-election as a member of the Town of Pembroke Select Board. There are two seats available, and I respectfully ask for one of your votes. Why should someone vote for me? I would invite the people of Pembroke to look at my passion and commitment toward the duties of a member of the Select Board, not just what occurs during Select Board meetings, but outside of Town Hall as well, by my working on various subcommittees or speaking with citizens who have issues that need to be addressed. I make a conscious effort to look at all sides of an issue and contemplate what is best for the town as a whole when making a decision. On account of this thought process, people have told me that they like the way I speak when talking about complicated or controversial issues, since I inform the public on the background and help to provide them with insight on the issue to the greatest extent possible. I help the people read between the lines. I try to make thinking rationally on how to achieve balance in all matters that come before the selectmen my hallmark. Experience in municipal government and in knowing how it works in Pembroke are important factors when choosing someone to vote for. I've been a member of the Select Board for 12 years, previously an elected planning board member for 7 years, and have served on various town committees and councils. This job is more than one meeting per week. The work itself and contributing to the community is enjoyable. My vision of Pembroke's future is maintaining the nature of the suburban town that I moved into 24 years ago, while balancing that with the pressures of modernization. I've been working toward a better Pembroke for quite some time. During my 7 years on the planning board, I have helped to develop and write the current master plan and work to ensure zoning bylaws and subdivisions reflected the suburban character of Pembroke. During my 12 years as a select board member, I have worked to modernize the town by implementing curbside recycling, chairing the committee to create the capital fund so that infrastructure can be purchased and maintained in an orderly fashion, and literally changed how town government is run by chairing the committee that brought forth our town manager form of government. As a 3-year member of the Community Center Task Force Committee, I'm an ardent supporter of building a new community center here in Pembroke. I like my job and I'm told that I'm good at it. I would ask you to consider casting your vote for me on June 26th. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Dan Tribuco, one of 4 candidates for 2 seats on the Pembroke Select Board. I want to congratulate all of you. No bell ringing was necessary. You finished your 2-minute statements within 2 minutes.
Night's young.
Yeah, the night's young. So let's start with Monday night talk show host.
Kevin Tocci.
What's your name again?
Thank you.
Kevin Tocci.
Welcome to the program. First question. I believe the talk of the town is the community center. My understanding is this is going to be an article on the June meeting warrant. Do you support the project, or do you have concerns regarding such a project, building such a project, or moving forward with such a project during a pandemic?
Let me piggyback on that. You know, during the Balzardi era, Dan remembers the Balzardi era, when a kind of rogue selectman caused some problems, MPG newspapers transferred me to the Pembroke Reporter to report on the mess, and Selectman hired a new town administrator. His name was Ed Thorne. Yes, that was 1998. And what was the big subject in town other than Balzotti? The community center. When was that? 1998. Yeah. Go ahead. Who do you
want? Our storyteller. We'll start with Mr. Driscoll.
So the big question is, do I support the rec center or the community center complex? I do. I just don't feel at this time, because we're in a pandemic, that it would be wise to raise folks' taxes. And, you know, I've heard a lot of the building cost and, you know, we're going to have $4 million and all this. I don't think all this has been rock solid information. Last year, we had 18% unemployment between March, April, pretty much through the whole summer. Right now, we're at 7% unemployment in the town, actual numbers from the Labor Department. And usually, we're at 2% of unemployment. There are a lot of folks still out of work. There are a lot of folks still using the food pantry. I think that moving it to next year or next town meeting would be wise. You know, a lot of people don't realize that there probably is going to be around one or two more overrides coming down the road.
Mr. Brown, same question.
Thank you, Ms. Tachi. I'm for the community center big time, because ever since the community center has been in existence, at least this round for the fourth incarnation, I believe, and Dan being on this one, I've been looking for actually grant money or money that we can actually try to pursue to pay for it. Like the USDA grant with any communities under 50,000 people can actually apply for this. The federal government I'm hearing recently is trying to get rid of it, but if we can get it in now, it's a 70-30 split. So that the federal government will bring up $13 million while we do six. If we can get the $3 million back from the bond that we had through the economic development bond that we lost, unfortunately, because of COVID, that brings $3 million cost to the taxpayer overall. So I'm adamantly for it. I will look anywhere, shape, or form under a rock somewhere where I can actually find money for it. But that's kind of what I've been doing for years. Where do you find a solution for the problem?
Mr. Trujillo, same question.
Certainly.
I'm an ardent supporter of the community center. I've been on the community center task force committee for 3 years now, trying to work through all the details, trying to understand the programming that would need to go into a new building and make a rec center that encompasses not only the programs that they have now, but broaden the programs with a new building. And the new building also serves as the Council on New Council on Aging building. The current Council on Aging building is a former library. It's not set up for the Council on Aging. So to serve our senior citizens the best would be in a new building. This new building supports seniors, young folks, and then the umbrella of everyone in town.
Mr. Anderson, question.
I understand where Mr. Driscoll's coming from, and I do think it's a very difficult time, but I think that we need to move forward on bringing back some type of town center jewel, and I think the community center is going to do that. I think it'll brighten up that entire area of town center. I would have liked to have seen some hard numbers, some financial planning around what a robust rec center program could have looked like, because I do think that programming in there could probably pay for the community center over the next 5 years or so, but we don't have those numbers yet. It's a beautiful building. It's a solid plan, and I think the most important thing is that it's finally getting to the voters to make the decision.
Okay. I have a related question. As I said before, 1998, most towns have capital plans, and this shouldn't be a surprise. So what do you have to say about a capital plan? Let's start with you, Karen.
Sure. I was fairly surprised when I moved to town a few years ago and realized that we didn't have that type of planning for the town of Pembroke. I am very encouraged by Mr. Chouinard's work so far. I think as town manager, he's drinking from a fire hose, but I'm excited by what I've seen so far with his skill set and also with his planning. So I think we're going to get there, and I would love to be part of the process that gets us there, but I think a robust capital plan is essential so that we can have a proper town master plan and better anticipate what's coming down the road.
Tom Driscoll, what do you say about the master plan?
Capital plan.
I was always under the impression we had a capital plan. That's why we bought land down by 58 and 14 to build the public safety building. It's been a while since we bought that land. We've done nothing with it. I thought the town had envisioned in the plan to build the public safety building and move on, then move on to the other projects. But right now it seems like the current board doesn't want to move forward with the public safety building. So now we're stuck with because we do need a rec center, but they're like circumventing whatever plan they had before. It seems like they're very loosey-goosey with this plan.
John Brown, you're an incumbent. What about a capital plan?
The way we're moving forward right now, with Mr. Chouinard, we're getting that capital plan in effect from the last one that was already taken care of, as Mr. Trubico said. Now, to say that we are loosey-goosey or whatever with what's going on with the public safety building, you have to understand that the chief of police at the time wanted a separate building. And then the Commonwealth actually had been trying to get towns like ours to actually have a public safety building, not just a police station and a fire station. So the current chief of police and current chief of fire want to actually now have to have a current public safety building. So basically, we'll save money on the community.
Dan Trabuco, how could you let all this time pass without any thought to a capital plan?
It's a misconception that there was no capital plan. So the way town government worked prior to having the capital fund, which was an important change to how town meeting was run and how town government was run, which was implemented just last year. So the way town worked was when any capital funding was going to be expended, it would be done at fall town meeting after free cash had been established. And at fall town meeting, remember, the select board does not spend money. Town meeting is the only body that can spend money. So at every single fall town meeting, there was a free-for-all. The police chief would stand up for one thing, the fire chief would stand up for another thing, and whoever spoke the best at town meeting got the money. And we expended every single dime at fall town meeting. It was so haphazard, and it needed to change. So establishing a capital fund that will be expended at spring town meeting in a orderly fashion is how we are moving forward.
Art Edgerton, do you have a question from Pembroke News?
Yes, Pembroke Town News has a question about the environment, just to switch gears a little bit. What do you think that the town could do better, or what do they do well to preserve our environment, and especially the water system that we have? Our town has more ponds than any town around, and we need to protect them, obviously. Do you know what plans we have to do it, or what plans we could come up with, Tommy?
So right now, Pembroke, little known fact, Pembroke has 11 map ponds, and I believe 5 of them have public access. I'm on the Watershed Association, and I've been for quite some time. I think that, we could put more money. We could dredge Oldham and Furnace. It's all been talked about. Putting better barriers up on the road so that it keeps runoff from coming into Little Sandy and other, ponds that are very close to the roads. That would be a huge step in the right direction.
Tom, Dan?
Yes, certainly. So the town of Pembroke has a robust committee that is the Herring Fisheries Commission. So cleaning up the waterways so that the herring can run freely up and down our rivers and streams and into our ponds and procreate is important. The town as a whole has been contributing to the freshness of the water by treating the water for blue-green algae every year on an ongoing basis. And we've also looking forward by we purchased land to dredge Furnace Pond. And there's a piece of land across the street from what Chip's boat landing was. And our plan is to dredge it, place it there so that it can drain off, and thereby freshening up Furnace Pond. So the town has been looking into the rivers and streams and in ponds and feel that it's important, and we have invested in them.
Okay. Do you have something?
I'm just happy that, you know, between herring fisheries, conservation, they do a wonderful job, and they have kind of tried to keep me in the loop also and let me go around to see what our waterways are like. And, you know, and I'm also trying to find out, you know, a little bit more of that throughout, you know, my first term here.
I think that our Conservation Commission does some really excellent work. I think their Adopt a Trail program is going to be something families especially are really interested in. I think it's going to be hugely successful. I do think our Recycling Committee is a misnomer, and we need to move things on to having a Sustainability Committee, because that's where most other towns are at this point. We're about 10 years in the past with a Recycling Committee. So having a Sustainability Committee that can look at things much more holistically for the town is where we need to go.
Okay, that's the first round of questions. This is a WATD political forum. The race is Pembroke Select Board. The candidates are Karen Rayner, Tom Driscoll, Dan Trabucco, and John Brown. Kevin Tachi, do you have another question?
I definitely do.
Oh, I thought you would.
The process continues for hiring a permanent police chief. Now, it's ultimately, my understanding is that the town manager will make the pick with the input from the select board. My question to all of you is, are you in favor of making Richard MacDonald the permanent chief, who is the interim at this moment, or would you prefer either someone else in the department or, ultimately, someone from outside of the department? We'll start with you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Tachi. Am I for Mr. MacDonald, Acting Chief MacDonald, to be the permanent chief? As of right now, yes, to the way he's done his job. Due to civil service, we have to go outside and look at all candidates, whoever they may be, from sergeant up to captain or whatever. It has to outside the realm. And knowing civil service a little bit, talking to other police departments, they always try to look internally first. So, but I want to see all candidates and make sure we pick the best person to basically be our next police chief.
Mr. Fremco,
same question.
So we need to develop and raise up the folks that are coming behind him first. We need to make sure that the lieutenants, sergeants, those spots are filled, and those being civil service jobs, we needed to wait to the test, and it was delayed due to COVID. That's why we have an interim at the moment. And Rick MacDonald has done a wonderful job as an interim chief. Pembroke has had a history of hiring from within, because you have to understand that the police department has a paramilitary operation. They are like a family. They're like a family, and they support one another, and they respect one another from within. If the town manager finds someone that sweeps us off our feet, I'll support his decision, though.
Ms. Rayner, same question, please.
I think that Interim Chief MacDonald brings an incredible skill set to the job. I think his background in human resources actually brings a high level of emotional intelligence that sometimes you don't always find at this level. I think he runs a really great team. I'm a little surprised to hear our local police department referred to as paramilitary. That's a little concerning to me, and I don't think Interim Chief MacDonald would refer to it that way. But I think he very much wants to be a member of the community, and if he's the one through the process that ends up being our next chief of police, I would very much support him.
Mr. Driscoll, same question, sir.
So I have the lucky thing of saying I served with Chief MacDonald in the military. He was a mentor in the Air Guard for me. The man has an incredible amount of knowledge, and he is more than qualified for police chief of Pembroke. But we do have civil service, and we do have to go by those guidelines. But Chief McDonald is by far one of the top-notch candidates that we could have for that position.
May I do a Charles Matheson real quick?
Oh,
follow-up, if I may.
Oh,
if we're
right
on
ahead. You are anyway.
All right, so, we're on the subject of police. The country was watching what was happening in Minnesota with the Derek Chauvin case. I ask all of you, how do you feel about your local police department and how it works with the community? We will start with Ms. Rainer.
Sure. I think the past year with COVID has certainly altered things for what our police department is able to do on more of the social side with our community, but I know that they're all hoping to get back to how they used to be able to interact. I do think that our we need to bring more resources in as far as social workers and other agencies in order to help our police, because we're asking them to do things that are outside of their realm of training at this time. So I'd like to see that in the future.
Same question, Mr. Driscoll.
Can you repeat the
question? Basically, because of the Derek Chauvin case,
yep.
I'm asking you, how do you feel your local police department works with the community and its members?
I think they're phenomenal at what they do. COVID has had a huge impact on how they're involved with the community. I think that there's always room for growth, training in the police department. They're all getting trained up on, you know, tactics and stuff. You speak of the Chauvin case. I do believe Pembroke is one of the best departments on the South Shore.
Mr. Kripo.
Same question, sir.
So community policing was the goal of our last police chief, Chief Rick Wall. And Chief McDonald has taken that charge and is moving forward with it. During the year of COVID, it's been difficult to implement some of the programs that the former chief wanted to extend. Our department wants to help and serve the community. They're not just there to police, to give tickets. They want to serve and truly be a part of it. The resource officer at the schools has been a mentor to the students there, and it's been a terrific program. So I think community policing, that's how I think of our police department, and that's how everyone should.
Same question, Mr. Brown.
Almost had my ditto moment there. I agree with Mr. Trabuco. I mean, because hearing from the police chief and other officers throughout our departments, they've done well for our community by reaching out to make sure that, you know, they want to be a face and not just basically there. According basically to Chief Wall, I can quote him saying, they don't want to just be there when something bad happens. They want to be there to be known to say that we're here to protect and serve, and we're here for the community.
Okay, it's been a half an hour. I think we can take a bit of a break. You've been listening to a political forum on WATD. The race is the Pembroke Select Board. We'll be back in just a moment.
To combine your physical and mental well-being with a simple over-the-counter remedy has arrived. From Fuse Health CBD products, locally sourced in New England, Fuse Health delivers completely natural, organically grown, 100% hemp-based CBD products to your door. Nurture sore muscles and joints. Enjoy a better night's sleep. Visit fuse-health.com to learn which edibles, tinctures, topicals, and oral sprays might work best for you. Visit fuse-health.com.
Hi, my name is Arlene. I'm one of the many volunteers at the Marshfield Food Pantry. As we all look forward to better days and warmer weather, please know that the Marshfield Food Pantry is open and ready to help. Our goal is to help bridge the gap between paying bills and putting food on the table. Whether you visit us once or stop by for a longer period of time, I encourage you to take that first step. Give us a try. Better days are ahead. Your neighbors are here for you. For more information, visit marshfieldfoodpantry.org.
WATD's political forum continues. Now, back to Studio B.
Hi, my name is Giles Mathewson. I'm moderator for tonight's political forum. The race is Pembroke Select Board. There are four candidates for two positions. John Brown, Dan Fabruco are the incumbents. Tom Driscoll and Karen Rayner are the challengers. I would like to ask you about what some would say is an aptly named affordable housing 40B project. That is River Marsh, which is placed in a marsh by the river. John Brown, how do you feel about this project in particular? And I'll ask about 40B in general after.
In general, is a mess. It really has been. Knowing that basically it was denied in 2015, and then because they got rid of a few units, it went through the courts and it was okay. Right now, we're kind of in a quandary of how do we move forward to get the best for the community from this project? Because like I said, overall, I think it's an ecological nightmare, which is going to deal with, unfortunately, other towns. So it's going to be more of a mess for Norwell, Marshfield, us, going down the North River. But affordable housing is needed. So, you know, what can the town get in lieu of trying for them to do it correctly?
Dan Trabuco, same question.
So let's begin at the beginning. Chapter 40B as a law is a boondoggle for developers.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. But what about this particular project?
Yeah, so the River Marsh is the wrong project in the wrong place. It invades a neighborhood and a natural area where it should not be. And the select board for the past 3 years has been trying every avenue to stop it, every legal avenue that we could. We finally exhausted any remedy that we could as a board. So now it is in the ZBA, and we need to work with the developer and the ZBA just to get the best project possible out of that.
Tom Driscoll.
Yeah, it's bad. It shouldn't be going where it's going. We have sent it up to the state. State approved it after they redesigned it. I'm not in favor of it going there. Like they said, it just being so close to the water and affecting the marshes, it's really, I think it's going to be detrimental to Pembroke and, like they said, down the towns down the road.
Karen Rayner, what about River Marsh?
Similar position. I have pretty significant concerns over the wetlands and that area ecologically. I think that if we can get our affordable housing to 10% for the town, then we have much more control over projects that can better serve our town, and that's where we need to be.
Okay, we refer to 40B, which is a Mass General law, to encourage affordable housing. Dan, I interrupted you earlier. What about 40B?
So 40B as a law is a boondoggle for developers. It is not even designed in a way to provide a true affordable housing for those who need it. There are other ways to go about that. And the town of Pembroke is the only town, you may know, that has ever been to 10%. Affordable housing, and we're just under it now. We're about 9.3%, but you need to be exactly 10. But the town of Pembroke had at one time been 10% above. So we are doing the best effort of any town in this entire region trying to encourage affordable housing. And I think on the town side, we are going to look into providing our own friendly 40Bs. It's actually on this town meeting's warrant. The zoning bylaws are going to change to allow affordable housing to be built by special permit. Not quite by right, but by special permit.
Okay, and just as background, because you know all about 40B, we know all about 40B, but the listeners may not. If you do not have 10% of the housing stock in your town that is deemed affordable by the definitions within the law, then anyone can come in with a so-called hostile 40B and circumvent the zoning in the town. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Okay. John Driscoll, what do you... John Driscoll, jeez. John Brown, what do you think about 40B?
I'm a junior on top of that. You're killing me. Like I said, 40B. It's in with Dan. When I was looking into it, when I was talking to the South Shore Chamber about this, they want to make sure it's more of a workforce development, too, of getting people in there and helping them. But at the same time, is it really affordable? Under the law itself, it doesn't feel like to me that, you know, you have to pretty much make $80,000 per family to try to find affordable housing within a community like ours of 18,700 people or so. So the friendly 40Bs, I'm all for. I'm glad that it's on the warrant changing these rules for the planning board to make sure that we have certain places where we can put 40B and help out individuals who want to come into our community. It doesn't seem like affordable housing under the current law is affordable.
Tom Brown. See, I had to do that.
I don't blame it.
Yeah, Tom Driscoll, 40B.
I know that we need housing in Pembroke for affordable housing for working class families, because right now it's not affordable to live in Pembroke. There are a lot of, the prices are going up, and the ones that are affordable are getting taken off the market daily selling. In the right spot, 40B, like a 40B project would be great. I believe we had some success on Birch Street and Chapel Street, the Copperhead 40B that's going in, and I'm warming to that one. But we need to make housing for working class families to live in Pembroke so we can grow as a community.
I agree with Mr. Driscoll, but I would also add that it's also our seniors who are looking for affordable housing, and we need to make some plans for that. It's when people are ready to downsize, they need to be able to move into some place where they can still stay in town, stay in their network, stay with the services that they've grown accustomed to, and we need to make sure that we're able to do that in Pembroke.
Okay, next question from Art Edgerton of Pembroke Town News.
Well, we've talked a lot about the community center and the affordable housing. Is there any issue that and if you feel that the town's overlooked and we should pay attention to and start working on? Karen?
Sure. I think one of the things that the town absolutely needs to work on is communication. Communication from between boards and committees, communication from town government to our citizens. I think that we have experienced some significant growth since 2010. And I, speaking as the person who is newest to town, probably in this entire room, I would definitely say that it is hard to find information. So I think communication needs to be a massive priority.
I want to repeat the question.
Are there things in town that you think have not been paid attention to that need to be?
What Karen's saying about communication between boards has lacked in the past. It wasn't the greatest this year during the pandemic. I do agree with what she's saying. Communication amongst the boards, and specifically communication to the town manager to know what's going on. You know, the right hand wants to know what the left is doing. It should be happening, and it's not.
Do you have any ideas how that would happen?
Encourage the town manager to make sure that the heads of the boards actually communicate with one another.
Dan? So there's something that it's not on the mind of the average citizen, but it might be overlooked by the average citizen, but certainly not overlooked by me or other members of the select board. The town of Brockton has the rights to Silver Lake's water.
That's the city of Brockton, Dan.
The city of Brockton. Thank you so much for the city of Brockton. And then the towns of Rockland and Abington also have rights to the Pembroke's water. So we have two towns and a city drawing from our water resources that were given rights to in 1899, all the way back then. So we need to make sure that they don't draw too much water, especially when there's a drought. And we have been looking into it, and it's always in the background, but it's just something that may be overlooked by the average citizen, people that work for the town are on top of.
Yeah. John?
It's something maybe trivial to others, but since coming from a media background myself, it's all about promoting our town. because I have the privilege actually of work, living, and playing in the town borders of Pembroke. And we have some great things going on here. We do communicate quite a bit with everything that goes on. Yeah, sometimes with our website, it is very difficult to navigate at times. But it's more of to promote the town and what we are as a leader, what we are as for our bars, our restaurants, our shopping, you know, just trying to get it out there so more people come on in. So basically, especially with the bars and restaurants, we also have the meals tax, and that helps us out in the town later on.
Okay, Mr. Tarchi, do you have questions for the candidates?
I do. We'll start with Mr. Trefuco. Are you aware of any Pembroke Town issues or ideas being discussed on private closed Facebook groups, issues that are ultimately will affect residents? And if you don't, how do you feel about this, if this is in fact happening?
Well, there are a few groups, Facebook groups in Pembroke, pages.
These are private and closed. It isn't like it's like a wide open one where anybody could see any comments.
Well, I don't know. I'm a freedom of speech person, so if they have a closed group that are discussing issues that are important to them and only want to bring in like-minded people, I'm a freedom of speech person, so have at it.
Okay. Ms. Raina, how do you feel about that?
I'm not quite sure I understand the question.
Are you aware of any aware of Pembroke Town issues and ideas being discussed on private closed Facebook groups?
I am not a member of some of the Pembroke Town Facebook groups because I found the language and the negative attitudes to be unhelpful to learning what people were thinking in town. I agree with Mr. Trebucco that everyone has the freedom to speech. So I'm not looking to have those shut down, but I'm not a member of those groups, so I'm not aware of that.
It's not a matter of shutting anything down, just a matter of having a discussion on a closed group about town ideas and issues. Mr. Driscoll, same question.
So, just to clarify the question, you're talking about like elected officials talking with citizens.
Correct.
About possible developers, maybe. Let's use the community center for an instance. Maybe
Just for instance, maybe
talking, you know, getting this stuff together so they can present it to the public rather than do it in a public setting.
Mm-hmm.
I have not, but that would be crazy. You know, I would hope nobody would do that because that's pretty shady in my opinion.
Okay, can we get it out of the shade?
I honestly don't know. I really am assuming it's about the rec center because that's the hot topic in town right now.
Yeah, of course it's the hot topic. But who are you implying?
I'm not really implying anybody. I just know that there was a private firm hired to promote an override. And, you know, those are members of the rec center or the community center board put together. So I'm assuming that was kind of what the question was asking.
Referring to.
Sorry.
Yeah. Mr. Brown, same question.
I know a few boards, especially, like I said, within social media that want to do so. And my understanding, especially with how they're closed to this respect, is to make sure there's no animosity, that people feel safe when they're able to speak and discuss topics. So they don't feel overwhelmed or, as you see on social media, basically being bashed every 2 seconds, which is wrong. But anyone who has the right to speak on an issue, I'm all for it. Like I said, just like they all said, it's all about freedom of speech and speaking your mind and doing it in a proper way so people don't feel that they're being targeted or being bullied.
Would you want to be a member of one of these particular groups, private groups? That could influence or create when it comes to creating town policies?
As an elected official, I'm always concerned about open meeting law. So no, because I don't want to make it political. So basically, if these groups are individuals that want to speak their mind and basically make sure they have that freedom, I want to make sure all politics is out of it. And because if I am a part of that, they know I'm a board member. So I would be, unfortunately, making it political. And I wouldn't appreciate that at all if I did that to someone that was on the board, too.
Mr. Driscoll, if you're elected, would you want to be a part of one of these private Facebook groups?
And just a quick question. All right, gentlemen, you're both on the community center, that board, the board, correct? That the board that organized the community center? Came together with a plan?
Like an advisory board or building committee?
The plan that you guys put together that you all served on to make up the community center, right?
The committee is the community center task force.
Yes,
I am a member.
I am not.
Have you guys had private conversations with other members on the board in a private setting?
No.
Okay.
So would you?
No, I would not.
Okay. Mr. Shibuko, would you be a part of a private Facebook group that would discuss about influencing town policies?
I, too, am always cognizant of open meeting laws. So if it's a town committee that's deliberating, that's an open meeting law violation. So I would not deliberate in a forum like that.
Okay. Mr. Reiner, same question.
You chose the word deliberate very carefully.
It's the legal term.
Yes, but would you participate?
I would participate in discussions, of course. I'm not a member of any private closed group, though.
It's not a closed group. They're talking about a conversation with fellow members of that.
But I am referencing a private Facebook group. So I did mention that, so just in fairness here. Ms. Rainer, same question.
I would not look to join a private Facebook group that would discuss town business, no.
Okay.
The two challengers have each mentioned a vote taken last summer. In which Mr. Trabuco, as chairman, abstained. Could we talk about that a little bit more? You've been very explicit about this, Karen Rayner. You said it was the reason that you decided to run.
Do you want me to just comment on that?
Yes.
I was actually on vacation with my family when that happened. We had rented a house up in New Hampshire, and I was really disappointed. I was disappointed for not only my children, but our neighbors and other kids in town who are of color. And being a member of the Pembroke for Racial Justice Group, it was disappointing that our town didn't take a stand to make that vote unanimous.
Mr. Driscoll.
So I'm going to be a little more blunt. I was pretty disgusted in how they voted on it. It wasn't a binding, I forget if it was a resolution or whatever, what they voted on. It wasn't binding. It was very, we're all in this together, you know, it didn't isolate anybody. It just disgusted me how they voted on it.
Mr. Trabuco, would you like to explain your your not voting?
Yeah, so I never voted as chairman from the time that I was named chairman to that vote. Because if the vote had already carried, the chairman, as you know, under Robert's rules, does not have to vote unless to break a tie. There was no tie to be broken there. But because there are a lot of people that said, geez, you know, I really wish you expressed yourself there. I've changed the way I operate as a chairman, and now I take a vote on every issue.
Well, how would you express yourself?
I'm not in favor of it.
The letter?
The letter.
That's what you were voting on was a...
That's what we would... That's... So I'm not in favor. I did not... Pembroke is not a racist town. And I don't think that letter was necessary.
Letter addressed to?
Open letter.
John Brown, are you satisfied with Dan Trabuco's explanation?
For his mindset on that, and I can tell you mine too. Mm-hmm. I did. I openly said no. And the reason why is because it was a statement that was brought in by one of my colleagues. So in my gut reaction was that a board member and our committee is telling the people how to think and feel. Now, what I should have done after this, after I said no, and I talked to several people about it, and people laid into me hard about that, and I even talked to Pembroke Town News about that and put a statement out with that, is the problem I had actually with it was, to that end, we will work to educate ourselves, town employees, town residents, on racial justice. Now, I have no problem educating myself on that because I've went through the ringer and definitely I would have voted yes on the statement and also changed the wording of that itself. I'm not going to be, as a board member, sitting to tell people how to think and feel, especially town employees and town people, and say straight out that basically you're racist. That is unconscionable.
Okay, my friend and colleague here, Kevin, has a follow-up. Oh, you don't? No, I do. This is actually from our boss, Christine James, who could not be here tonight. Is the role of selectmen broad enough to address national issues such as racism? Let's use the same order. Karen.
I think as leaders in the town, for something like racism, racism is not something that people of color need to solve. Racism is something that white people need to solve. And a town that's 98% white is a perfect town to work on it. I think we have a lot of people in Pembroke who actually do want leadership from the select board on this issue and would like to know where the select board stands on this issue and would like to see in the schools and in town government that we take a stand against racism.
Mr. Driscoll.
So the select board are leaders in the town. They're the tip of the spear, right? You can say that there's no racism in Pembroke. You can say all that. That letter was stating that we will not put up with it. We want people to learn what's different, you know, what is wrong. We want to educate our people, our town employees, you know, the ones that we hire and whatnot. And it's crazy to me that leaders in our town did not abstain and voted against it. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Dan Trebuba, how do you respond?
Right. So Pembroke is different than Seattle. Pembroke is different than Minneapolis. There are degrees of differences. So while racism is a part of America, it is there, and you cannot say that it's zero in Pembroke. So, but there are degrees of differences. So I don't think that Pembroke has a high degree as compared to cities of a problem. But the problem is not zero. So we need to consider it that way in the degree that Pembroke has an issue.
John Brown.
Can you repeat the question itself? Sorry.
Do you think it's within the purview of selectmen to deal with issues that are of national importance like racism or violence?
If dealing within our borders where we have control over it, yes. I mean, because people have their minds set on between federal, state, whatever our community is all about, yes, they have an opportunity to do so. And within my borders where I have control over, yeah, I have no problem with that.
Okay, now we're going to go to our lightning round. This requires a yes or no answer or one or two sentences, whatever the questioner prefers. Mr. Tachi.
The town is currently working to assemble a master plan. If you could provide input, what would you like to see incorporated into the new master plan? I'd give you one to two sentences. We'll go with Mrs. Rainer.
All right, town center revitalization, dining and entertainment, sidewalks and bike lanes, and commuter access, to name a few things, school improvement, economic development, and housing addressed.
Mr. Driscoll.
Focus on a public safety building, followed by a rec center, if not combine both of them, and have one override rather than two.
Mr. Trebuco.
Building infrastructure. Community center, police, fire, and DPW.
Mr. Brown.
Same as Mr. Trebuco. Infrastructure, especially, we have to add the library to that, too, since it's over 20 years old. We need help with it.
Okay, my favorite question. What is your favorite bad habit? It has to be, one, a bad habit, two, yours, and it can't be, I'm too good. Karen.
Binge watching Netflix episodes until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Very good. Mr. Driscoll.
Staying up too late and having to get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, Dan.
It hurts.
I agree with Tom, staying up too late.
And Mr. Brown.
Caffeine. I've been overdoing it lately, big time. It's horrible.
Ed.
Art.
Art. Names all over.
Is there something in town that you think is done really well? Just one issue that, you know, we don't even need to work on it because it's going the way it should be.
For me personally, being welcomed into the community was an incredible experience. From the schools to everyone that I've met, to people in town government, our community can be incredibly welcoming, and I wouldn't change that for anything.
I would have to say, or my next,
yeah,
I have to say the Board of Health to me. I know I'm patting myself or patting our board on the back, but I think we do a tremendous job.
The transition to town manager form of government is a tremendous change, and it changed the structure of town government. And I'm glad that we picked the right person for the job in Bill Chouinard.
Mm-hmm. Town hall in general. Our employees are awesome. They know their customer service, and they know they have to be up in front and do several different jobs.
Kevin Tachi, lightning round
question. I have to ask the Christine James the patented Dan Pilata question about Plymouth County government.
I've been waiting for that
should
one.
Should it stay or should it go, Mr. Brown?
I hate saying this for Mr. Valenzuela's on there. It's got to go.
Well, Mr. Buco, Plymouth County government, stay or go?
It has to go.
Oof. I'm about keeping it, modifying it maybe a little, but I think it's been there. It works.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Modify it. Keep it. Modify it.
Okay. Did Pembroke get a check from the county?
We did.
Okay, just check it. Yeah. Next.
They actually did a good job on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you want to get rid of them?
Yeah. Well, yeah. See, that's the only thing.
Not the you're people.
Say. Yeah. But the county government.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, what's your favorite place in town? One word. Karen.
Gather.
Little Sandy.
Herring Run.
BBC.
Okay, Art, do you have another?
I don't have anything right now.
Okay, let's go to closing statements. Each candidate has 1 minute. The race is Pembroke Selectman. We will start with, Pembroke Select Board. We'll start with Karen Rayner.
Thank you again to WATD.
Should we start with Karen Rayner?
Yeah, should I go last?
No, we start with Dan Trabuco.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. One time out, they're going to fire me as moderator.
Well, since Charlie's the moderator, make sure I say this. Hello, everyone. My name is Dan Trabuco, and I'm running for re-election as a member of the Town of Pembroke Select Board. There are 2 seats available, and I respectfully ask for 1 of your votes. Thank you.
John Brown.
I am John Brown, asking to be re-elected to the Select Board June 26. I'd like to thank WATD for the forum to answer questions on several different topics. I love our town of Pembroke and the people that reside here. The community has been very welcoming to me and my family. I have seen firsthand generosity and friendship that the people of Pembroke bring to this community. I've had a great opportunity to be your elected official, and would like to continue doing so for the next 3 years. Throughout my public service career, I know I was elected by some to represent all. And I will and have always kept that mindset because the people of our town are the most important. With your help and support, we'll be able to move the needle forward to accomplish goals the town has set for itself for the betterment of our community. I'm asking the people of Pembroke to vote for me, John Brown, June 26th, to continue being your voice in our town. If you have any questions, concerns, please feel free to contact me through my Facebook page, John Brown Pembroke Select Board, or call me on my cell, 571-235-2015. Thank you, and see you around town.
Mr. Driscoll.
Well, thank you, WATD, for having us. My name is Thomas Driscoll. I'm running for Select Board. June 26th, I'm asking you to cast your ballot for me. We need a better class of leader in Pembroke. With that, thank you again.
And Karen Rayner.
I'll add my thanks to WATD for tonight. With a still new town manager, Pembroke and the Select Board is at a transition point where we can create a strong vision for the future of our town. A new master plan and a capital investment plan will help us to set goals for our future and also better anticipate how to mitigate or entirely reconstruct our aging town buildings. A solid capital improvement and maintenance plan can help us to anticipate expenses and costs and provide for a smoother budgeting process. Having more effective communication between boards, committees, and residents will help taxpayers to better understand the issues we're facing this budget season and especially the next as we grapple with remedies for the overarching needs of our town's infrastructure and services. We cannot continue to leave renovations and rebuilding to the future. We need to meet the needs of our residents through social services, especially post-pandemic. By coming together to develop creative solutions that won't overburden our taxpayers, we can realize a great future for Pembroke and not just maintain the status quo. I love living in Pembroke and I am deeply invested in the town's growth and future success. I will work hard for the residents of Pembroke, all residents of Pembroke. Please make your plan now to vote on or before June 26.
This has been a WATD political forum. The race is for Pembroke Select Board. There are four candidates for two spots. The town election is June 26th. And as we always end with these words, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. Thank you and good night.